Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for, and Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit. Huntsville Home Video, now playing.
The following movie has been rated PG by the Motion Picture Association of America.
How's it going, eh? Good day. And welcome to the podcast. It's Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack, and that is Leanne Foster. How's it going, eh?
It's going good, eh?
Oh, good.
How are you doing, yo hoser?
Take off.
God damn it. Where's our beer, eh?
You didn't bring the Molson?
No, you were supposed to bring it, eh?
Oh.
You dumb.
Take off.
That one Irish.
Take off. You didn't bring no jelly donuts, no crullers. Oh, get out of here.
I don't know what a cruller is.
So unprepared, so unprofessional, trying to do a podcast. We're talking about movies, and we're talking about a beer movie with no beer, eh?
That's right. That's exactly what we're doing, eh? I fucking can't.
Are you tapping out already?
I'm tapping out. I'll let you do it. I can't do it. It went Irish. It went Quint from Jaws there for like a second. Did it not? I heard it. I heard me say it.
Farewell and adieu, you my Spanish ladies.
Shark, go into the water. Men, go into the water. Oh, God. Yeah, I didn't think to practice my Canadian.
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
After
it
watching,
wouldn't matter anyway.
After rewatching Strange Brew, I went right into some Letterkenny. I listened to a little Rush. I watched all of the best matches of the greatest Canadian wrestler ever, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Who?
Exactly. Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Mm. Take off.
Eh. I will. You keep telling me I will.
get yourself a toque, eh?
A what?
A toque? A little hat?
A hat?
Yeah.
A toque?
I call it toque.
Do they call it a toque?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gotta get up on your Canadian slang.
I do not want to leave the South, okay? The South is my comfort zone.
That's fair.
I understand everything we're talking about here.
Like if you think they talk funny, imagine how they would think you speak.
Right. That's very true.
That's the fish out of water story I want to see. Go get you some back bacon and see some moose. Eh?
I can understand a redneck crackhead with not all their teeth way better than I'm understanding what's happening right now. Mm-mm, I'm not going to Canada.
No?
I'm not going to the land of maple syrup or whatever you got up there.
Some Mounties?
Yeah, them okay. Things.
Them things?
Ridiculous. The hats? My God.
Not here for it.
No.
All right, that's fair. Welcome to Huntsville Home Video. My name is Jack. Across from me, Leanne. We introduce her to movies that she has never seen. Today, not only has she not seen the movie, but apparently we've kind of super duper introduced you to a lot of Canadian shit.
A lot of Canada. Canada is a different type of land. Same continent, different type of people.
Yeah. Mm. I grew up about 3.5 hours away from them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been there.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when they start to come down. Like a lot of Canadians would come down to Fargo for the weekend for some shopping.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Because taxes are cheaper on things like that. Mm-hmm. They have better rates.
I thought you were going to say for warmer weather, and I was about to fall out of this chair.
Legitimately.
But I bet that's part of it.
It is. If you look at a map during the winter, that area that I lived in North Dakota, usually colder than places in Canada or Alaska.
No shit. Why did you live there?
I don't know. I don't currently. It's not where you're from. It's where you're at. And right now, I am in the gem of Alabama, Huntsville. I love this town. Goddamn, I'm happy to be
mm-hmm.
here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy you're here too.
Yeah, Canada though, it's all right place in the summertime.
I don't trust it.
Okay.
I still don't trust it.
No,
no.
They have their dollars are coins. They have dollar coins. The mm-hmm. toonie, the loonie, mm-hmm. the toonie.
I'm sorry, what?
Figure we learned you all about the La Brea Tar Pits a couple weeks ago. Now we're going to learn you about Canadian currency.
I'm sorry, the what?
This isn't real, Jack. They're not real.
They're not real.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they're real.
That's how you tip strippers in Canada. You just chuck coins at them.
What was that? Daniel Tosh? I'm making a hail, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a baller on a budget.
Yeah.
Make it hail.
Well, that's got to be terrible, you know, to just be hearing coins dropping while you're at a strip club. I don't feel like that's a good atmosphere.
I mean,
they're doing it wrong.
That's when you drive into Canada, that's their big
that's
billboard.
On the
Canada,
sign.
We're doing it wrong.
I'm sorry. Who was the Looney Toonie you were talking about? Go back. I needed
that's,
to know
that's
that.
That's what they call their dollar. The Looney.
The Looney?
Yeah.
I'm never going to Canada.
I'm out.
It's so weird.
Okay.
No wonder it is depicted the way that it is depicted in South Park.
Yep, South Park nailed it.
The Looney. Ridiculous. I should not, as an American, I should not be criticizing anyone.
Yeah, like what soapbox do we have to stand on, eh?
We got some shit going on here, I guess. Yeah.
We might not have all our ducks in a row, right. But fuck it, at least we're not Canada.
At least we call it dollar.
With their universal health care and shit.
Right. Yeah.
A friend of mine who actually lives down here in Alabama grew up in Canada. He's like, shit's not all it's cracked up to be. You still gotta wait.
I can't believe it is either. Like, you got money's gotta come from somewhere and you gotta pay for shit.
Yeah.
It's gotta go from somewhere. Well,
it's not so much that the cost thing is involved. It's a lot of, hey, I think I might have like this weird growth inside of me. Cool, you gotta wait like 9 months to get checked out. So really not unlike it is here.
Right.
You just have to pay a lot more to die here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Or just don't go to the doctor.
Right.
When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Just let it take you when it's ready to take you.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather spend your last earthly dollars on things you want to spend it on or chemo? I'm going with trips to Waffle House.
We're going to end it sooner with trips to Waffle House.
You goddamn right.
You know, but we're going out happy.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather go out happy.
If my heart could stop mid stack of waffles, I mean, I'd be upset I didn't get the whole stack down, but
yeah,
at least I died happy.
I don't want to go that way as a bigger gal. I don't want to be the gal that goes in the middle of a meal.
Okay.
Like, I'm always afraid that I'm going to Cass Elliot it, and it scares me to death. Like, I don't want to be like, she choked on a ham sammy at home by herself.
Uh-huh.
Big gal. Like, I can't take it. I don't want any food-related death.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, would it feel better if it was like a protein shake?
No.
Okay.
No. I just don't want any food-related death. Like, food's what got her? Yeah.
Yeah, seen that coming.
We saw that coming. I'll go out any other way.
Fair
I don't
notes.
Want to go out that
right.
way.
But it's not in Canada. You won't die in Canada.
You won't? Okay.
No, I'm saying you won't.
Oh, no.
You'll never
Because I'm
be
not
there.
Going.
Okay.
I'm not going to Canada.
All right.
It's an odd world.
Well, so you're not all about the trips to Canada. Let's see how you feel about a Canadian movie. Today we are watching Strange Brew. The, I think, very iconic characters of Bob and Doug McKenzie from SCTV. They had an album, and they eventually got a movie. I really enjoyed this movie, but as we have mentioned time and time again, ain't about me. It's about Leanne's journey. So, Leanne Foster, what did you think about your introduction to a lot of things Canadian, a lot of things Bob and Doug McKenzie? What did you think of Strange Brew?
Well, it's all right.
Okay.
It's not my jam, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
I didn't hate any of it. I just really can't say that I laughed at it.
I as I was watching this movie, you know, sometimes I've rewatched flicks that we've done for the podcast. I'm like, Leanne ain't going to like this. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, man, Leanne's going to fucking love this.
Yeah.
Today, or I guess yesterday when I was rewatching the movie, I was about 3/4 of the way through it. And I'm like, Leanne ain't going to get this movie.
I mean, it's fine. I don't hate it. It is comical, but it's not my type of humor.
Okay.
Like, it just didn't. There's one scene that makes me that made me laugh.
Okay.
And that was really it. I was just kind of like, okay.
Did it,
oh, that's okay.
Did it further play into like all the stuff that South Park does about Canada for you?
Yeah, I'm just like, this is odd. This all of this is just more odd than anything. I'm puzzled. I was puzzled, I think, more than lightly puzzled. Like, oh, this is their thing. This is their type. This is their brand. I'm like, eh, I'm okay. Good. Just, again, okay. I don't want to go.
Not your flavor of syrup?
Not my flavor of syrup. Okay. No.
That's fair.
No, I want all the fat. I don't want fat-free syrup. And I feel like I got some fat-free, carbohydrate-free syrup, and I prefer the carbs.
Oh, man, that's too bad.
But I appreciate them. I don't hate the characters. I like them. Like, they are goofy in a fun way. Like, it's not anything that I didn't like. Like, it's fun, but, and I guess there were two things that made me laugh out loud, but that was... It's just not my particular brand.
That's fair.
But I appreciate them, and I understand how they were probably... I don't really know the history of Bob and Doug McKenzie or how they got hugely popular, so but I can see how they got popular.
Like I mentioned, SCTV, which was Second City Television. That's where like Rick Moranis, John Candy, people like that, Dave Thomas, who's in this movie, got kind of their starts.
Okay.
So they did a lot of characters and stuff like that. Bob and Doug McKenzie were characters on that show.
Okay.
And then they kind of took off from there. There's an album that's out. Did you ever hear their version of the 12 Days of Christmas? I know I've...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, they have that. That's off of their album, which I went back and re-listened to again after watching this movie, and it's still fucking funny.
Still holds up.
Mm-hmm. Like Geddy Lee shows up on there and does a song.
Okay, well, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Geddy Lee like totally plays into their shtick on this song, and it's great.
Okay,
there's a bit where Doug does he becomes L. Ron McKenzie. He's a pastor, and he has one of the most profound sermons I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Good day, and welcome to church. Today's sermon is about bugs and how you should not kill them. Don't kill bugs. Why do you kill them? Because you hate bugs. Well, don't kill all that we hate, because then where would we be? If someone hates you, then what? Should they kill you? No. So don't kill bugs." And that ends the sermon.
Okay.
And that's just fucking profound. That's
amazing, eh?
the blank look on your face is so good. Love it.
It's just not for me, dog.
It's not for me.
It's just not for me.
That's all right.
But I appreciate the joy that you have in Bob and Doug McKenzie.
That's fair.
Yeah.
They even had action figures at one point.
No shit.
Uh-huh. It was their set from the TV show.
Wow.
If you got both of them, you could put the thing together. You press a button, it had sayings from the show.
That's cool.
And all the accessories were, you know, beer bottles and cases of beer.
Is Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, are they from Canada?
I believe so.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Maybe that's where they got all this.
I just want to make sure that we are culturally appropriate.
Oh, yes. We can't have Americans playing Canadians.
How dare we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen that shit with James Franco that's going on? Where he's supposed to play Fidel Castro in a movie?
Oh, no shit.
And John Leguizamo is like pissed because he's not Cuban.
So how does John Leguizamo feel about Latina playing Marilyn Monroe?
Right. I'm sure that's applauded.
Oh, okay. I was making sure we have our hypocrisy ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's like people who make a big deal about small people wearing fat suits in movies, which I don't understand. And now all they're doing is praising Brendan Fraser for playing a 600-pound man in a movie.
Right.
And it's like he's wearing a fat suit, but you don't care because you like Brendan Fraser and you want him to have his day.
You
hypocrite motherfucker.
There were people that chastised Bryan Cranston for playing a paraplegic in a movie.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I legitimately don't. I don't care that Ana de Armas is playing Marilyn Monroe. Because she can act, and she's fucking, she's a smoke show.
Yes.
So it's like, let her play Marilyn Monroe.
Who cares?
I don't care. You know what? I don't care the people that James Franco is playing Fidel Castro, because people didn't like Fidel Castro. People don't like James Franco.
It works.
Boom.
The movie's going to suck anyway.
Yeah.
So let it go. Like John.
Yeah. Mm. The Pest was the best movie you ever did, John Leguizamo. And John Leguizamo said the R word in that movie.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That has now become retroactively problematic.
Yeah. You bitch.
Hoser.
Yeah, hoser. Anyways, back to Strange Brew. Sorry, I diverted us for a second.
It happens.
You know, it's fine.
Our Baker's Dozen has come to expect it.
It's our brand.
Man, I really want to hear what they say about this fun, plucky Canadian movie, but I want to hear them talk about racial hypocrisy first.
Yeah, let's let them talk about 20 other things that I find not important.
Check, check, check. Check. On to Strange Brew.
17 more to go.
Shall we get into it?
Let's get into it.
All right.
So we start out again with a movie within a movie.
Yeah.
So the boys are popular enough to where they were doing a movie in a movie theater.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So Bob and Doug McKenzie are, well, they're trying to get a lion to roar, which that was good. I like that shit. And they're
like when he literally just cranks the it's the MGM logo.
Yes, and the lion is through it.
And he's just sitting there not roaring like you expect him to roar. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Hey, get this lion going, eh?" And the camera kind of tilts around. You see Bob and Doug behind this facade of the MGM logo with a real lion just sitting down there.
Yeah.
And Doug just grabs his tail and starts cranking it, trying to get him to roar.
Right, right. So, Bob and Doug McKenzie are on their set, surrounded by cases of beer, which is a legit set.
Yep.
I wish that's how our studios were, because right. Our shows would be better, I feel like. And they're introducing their homemade movie about 2051 AD. We're not sure if that's in the past or in the future. And they're saying as many times as possible. Every time.
Did that get to you? Did that annoy you?
It annoyed me a little bit. I'm not even going to lie. I was like, all right. I think we're overdoing it. I will say, though, when I was in college, I worked on this transcript that students would get, a co-curricular transcript that listed everything that they had been a part of, you know?
Okay.
And so I had to work with the you know, this software and the IT team or whatever. And the guy was Canadian, and he did say a couple times, and he did say a boot. And every time I'd have to cover the phone receiver because I thought I was going to lose it. And it was because it was just thrown in once every now and then. But he would say it legitimately and I would just cover the receiver because I'm like, oh, my God, that's hilarious.
And South Park was in your life at this time.
South Park was very much a part of my life. So it was like a boot and I would just see Terrence and Phillip and I would have to I would just have to move the phone up and get it out of my way. So
was that your first experience with an actual Canuck?
I think so. Are you allowed to call them that? Is that an okay word?
Yeah, you can say that.
That's not a slur?
No, you can say that.
I don't know. I've never been there.
Oh, he called him the C word. He
don't
called him
tell
a cunt?
Me that, because you once got me to say mongoloid, and I didn't know what it meant. So is Canuck okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I mean,
sure?
they call Wolverine from the Marvel comics, they call him Canucklehead.
All right.
So, I mean, if they can say that in the comics.
I'm just trying to make sure you're not fooling me. I just don't want this to be a
LaBrea
tar pit.
There's a hockey team called the Canucks.
Oh, okay.
Well, and there's also
like
football teams
hockey.
Called, like, Indians and
right.
Redskins.
Redskins.
And, well, not anymore.
That's right.
Not anymore, eh?
Eh. Anyway, sorry, they say that. So, in the movie, they have set up a projector to play the movie. We're watching the movie on a projector. It's Inception. It's projection Inception, because you're in a movie theater watching a projection of a movie, which is going to show you a projection of the movie that they made.
Yes.
Which was kind of good. I kind of give that one an applause. So we start watching this very, very homemade movie where he's using a tape measure as a communication system. And they're like showing how they do the special effects with the van. And then we get to where the mutant shows up. And then the projector messes up in the movie, not the actual projector, but the projector in the movie that is showing the homemade movie.
Cut to a very packed crowd.
Packed.
And Canadians love Bob and Doug.
Yeah.
Not happy.
Not happy at all. They're throwing popcorn. Kids are crying. People are having meltdowns. And Bob and Doug?
Doug.
Bob and Doug are in the theater nobody is happy with them. So we have to do the moth and the theater trick to get everybody out of the theater.
Which is, if you're halfway through the movie and you're not enjoying it, or, right, or you want a refund, you just release a jar of moths in a live theater.
Exactly.
And they run up to the projector and you demand your money back, eh?
Exactly. That's how it goes. So the angry mob is mad. They spot Bob and Doug. They chase them down the street, but our boys get away in their orange van and they make it home. And I love the parents that you don't see just in front of the TV. I'm sure that was a running bit for
you never left the set, that Great White, okay, North set. That was kind of just where they were at.
Okay. Well, you meet Mom and Dad, who are just plugged, tuned into the TV, and the dog who loves the beer.
Hose head.
So the boys give the last beer to the dog, though. Dad's out of beer.
And they also gave the last of the beer money to someone who was upset that they his kids have been saving their allowance for weeks for this shitty movie.
Yes.
And then they felt bad and they gave him the last of the beer money.
And that was, that was Dad's beer money. So the next thing in the morning, they have to go get Dad some beer. So they go to the store and the whole mouse in the beer bottle thing that Doug tells us about does not work at the store. Look, if you want free beer, you're going to have to go to the brewery, see if they'll give you some free beer.
I loved how, that was their gimmick to try to get free beer. They were going to go say, hey, we found a mouse in this beer bottle. The mouse was still alive.
Yes.
That's what that kills me every time.
Right.
It's like, it's not humane, but yeah, kill the mouse first. It looks more legit.
Exactly. No, not a little mouse wouldn't be running around in there. So they go to the Elsinore Brewery, which is right next to the Elsinore Looney Bin, which is very convenient, eh? And they bribe, I love this, they bribe the secretary with a couple of donuts that they find in their pockets. And I was like, I get that.
I just commented or made a mental note. I was like, man, I want pocket donuts.
Right.
I want to be able to just like reach into a pot. I'm like, oh, fucking donuts.
I want to line my pockets with something so that I can easily put food in there.
Yeah.
You know?
And I want it to be a donut. It
makes sense.
I've had
a polar donut.
Oh my God. Shout out to Polar Donuts. Not sponsoring the podcast or anything yet, eh? But goddamn.
Sorry. I don't know what that's all about.
They make a good donut, eh? I had way too many donuts this week.
Did you?
I did.
Well, you know what? Every now and then you got to have a donut weekend a week, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay.
It was a lot.
What's your favorite?
My favorite donut ever? Probably just like a Bavarian cream.
Mm-hmm.
Like a good Bavarian cream. Polar Donuts makes a raspberry pistachio donut, which is...
A pistachio is such a wasted nut.
What?
You don't need it.
Fuck,
we don't
that.
Need a pistachio.
What is wrong with you?
I got sick on pistachios one time and as a kid, and I can't touch them.
So you had a bad experience.
I had a bad experience. Okay. But I just find them worthless. I feel like they get way too much marketing.
What?
Put that money on a cashew.
Fuck a cashew.
Fuck you and your pistachios.
Mm. Oh, ma'am.
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm okay with you just being meh on Strange Brew, but you're going to have to revise. Like, you need to revisit a pistachio.
I can't.
When did you have this issue?
I mean, I was a child. So, I ate too many and I threw up.
And now you've grown up and you've learned control. Maybe. Revisit a pistachio. They're better than you thought.
Okay.
I mean, I'll do it
for you.
I've drank bottles of whiskey and liquor and whatever else and horked my guts out and I still went back to it.
Yeah.
I've got food poisoning from restaurants I enjoy and I still go back to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, I'll try a pistachio.
Thank you.
Strange Brew?
Strange Brew.
Strange Brew. So.
Got my chemicals up talking shit about a fucking pistachio.
My mind is going in 50 million directions, and it has nothing to do with Strange Brew. So they bribe the secretary with a couple of donuts, which I wish would happen to me on some juicy gossip, because I usually always have some kind of juicy gossip.
You do.
And I deserve more donuts for the gossip that I dish out. I really do.
You should
do.
Put up a sign.
I should. I have a sign in my office that says gossip coordinator, and now I need to add to that must require donuts.
One donut per piece of hot goss.
That's what it should be.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. So, and she reveals that the founder is dead and the uncle has married the widow, right?
Mm-hmm.
For control of the brewery, but that's not going to happen because the daughter just now turned 21, which makes her the heir of the brewery according to the will. Correct?
Boom. Nailed it.
I'm doing pretty good for checking in and out. So it's not good for these shadowy men that we're seeing in secret rooms that are watching everything. There's cameras everywhere. We have like the weird smart guy and then the weird like scientist, you know,
fucking,
like the diabolical motherfucker.
Max,
you know?
Von Sydow is the actor who played him. He's awesome.
Yeah. I know I've seen him in other things, or I feel like I have.
The last thing you probably saw him in was The Force Awakens. He was, I forget what his name was in that movie, but he's the dude, like when Kylo Ren shows up to the little village.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's who that, okay.
Max von Sydow. He was in a Stephen King adaptation of Needful Things.
Uh-huh.
He was great in that. Just super, like, mustache-twirling villainy. Like, the dude always looks like he's up to something.
Yes.
Sinister, but by all accounts, just the nicest dude.
And that's always how it goes, isn't it? Yeah.
How he got the role in this movie is so Rick Moranis, Dave Thomas, they actually wrote and directed this movie.
Okay.
And they wrote Brewmaster Smith with Max von Sydow in mind, thinking that there's no way he's going to fucking do this. But I think it goes, the producer of this flick had just wrapped up a movie that Max was in, and he got onto this project and he's like, oh, I'll just fucking call him. So he called him in Sweden. And he told him about it. Max told his kid about it. His kid's like, I love Bob and Doug. So, like,
that's how it goes.
Did it for the kid.
That's fantastic.
And I'm like, holy shit, we got Max von Sydow in this movie. That's fucking awesome.
That's really amazing how that works.
Right?
That's super cool.
That happens a lot now where, like, in the new Thor movie, Christian Bale was the villain in that. And I didn't think he'd ever do a Marvel flick, but his kids were like, yeah, you should do this, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got roped into it. Same with one of the dudes that was on our Huntsville Home Videos and his Emmys list, Ethan Hawke, who famously talks shit about comic book movies.
Which he's trying to, did you hear his statements, like trying to back that up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of like, well, you just need people, you need Scorsese to make these other movies.
And then, you know, like my kids love the Marvel and I did the Marvel. Look how great.
I just wanted to keep my house and my nice life. So I decided to take some of that Marvel money.
He was Ethan Hawke was on the Seth Meyers show. And I forget what
he's looking real rugged nowadays, too.
He is,
like, not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a fill in drummer. I forget who it was. And they showed the album cover of his latest band, and Ethan Hawke was like, hey, doesn't that look like Conchu from Moon Knight? Fucking this awesome Marvel show that I did. And I'm like, man, every word that is coming out of your mouth right now, to quote Bill Hicks, is like a turd falling into my drink.
I love it.
My, how the mighty sway when Marvel money comes their way.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It is.
It's true. Also, you cheated on Uma Thurman.
You fuck.
Anyway, she's probably a bitch.
But I hear Black Phone was really good.
I wanted to see it.
So,
I didn't go.
Yeah, I didn't either, but it'll come around.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Yeah.
Anyways, what are we watching? Strange Brew. Yeah, so we got these shadowy men and the brewmeister and all that stuff. And it looks like the brewmaster is drugging the beer to mind control people.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit. Including, and he's testing it on the patients in the mental hospital that's just right next door. Now, here's where I get a little fuzzy.
Okay.
All right. So he's mind controlling the patients in Elsinore Mental Hospital. And by the play of a keyboard musical cue, the motherfuckers run out and run into the storeroom and they put on hockey outfits and then they start to attack each other based on the color because there's black and white.
Hell yeah.
Did I get all of that?
You nailed it.
I nailed all of that?
You got all that.
That is fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, by the play of a keyboard, then they start attacking.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So, Canada. So,
how they do it, man. They love hockey and mind control.
So, we get our boys get up to the uncle into this meeting and they do the bottle, the mouse in the bottle trick, which actually works here at the brewery. So they get hired to work the line because we wouldn't have mice in bottles if men worked the line. Because it seems like nobody works in here anymore. It's all automated because we're mind controlling the people who used to work in the brewery, correct?
And crazy, this was 1984 when they were coming up with these wild claims.
That is true. That is very true. So they get hired, they get full-time jobs, and they get free beer, which is great. So the next day, our boys get put into one of these hockey games. And after a lot of going back and forth, I think it's Doug that realizes there's no puck in this game. They're just attacking each other. And they keep getting attacked based on commands from a keyboard. In my notes, and I quote, "I am checked out." And then the daughter, Pam, I think was her name, who's taking control, she fires the shady beermeister, the brewmeister, to later find video of the brewmeister, beermeister, and uncle killing her father to make it look like an accident. And somehow they're able to see this footage in an arcade game in the break room that had lost power, but now it's regained power, and then now we see the footage. Okay.
When you put it like that, it sounds kind of dumb.
Well, when you put it like that in a movie.
Sorry.
I don't know what it's about. So we have that happen. Eventually, the daughter, Pam, she finds the creepy control room. And now the brewmeister, or Max von
Sydow.
And the guy who is playing, and her uncle, they have now dressed up as Bob and Doug because they are still in their hockey gear, right? So they get Bob and Doug's clothes, they dress up as Bob and Doug, they go in, and then they trank Pam and her trusted beermeister, brewmeister, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then our shady brewmeister and uncle trank Bob and Doug, who've been playing tunes on the keyboard in the office, and they also take some kind of mysterious record. Or is it a disc? What do they think? It was a new wave record?
Yeah.
But it's actually a disc of something. We'll find out later.
I like when they eventually get it back to their house and they put it on the record player and just come like screeching and hauling. Bob says something that, you know, basically you have said it. He's like, "Oh, I like it, but it's really not my brand." Not for me, eh?
Yeah, that's my theme of today.
Yeah.
I like it, and it's just not my
that line hit home for me.
So they trank them, and then they put them in the van, they put their clothes back on them, and they put them on a special assignment to deliver a couple of big kegs of beer, which I doubt are holding beer, and to deliver them to a party at the bottom of the hill. And their brakes have been tampered with, so they have like two good stops before they're goners. Right?
Two stops, then no break.
Then no breaks.
And I love how Doug just randomly, while they're in the van, just slams on the fucking brakes for no reason. Oh, random brake check, eh?
Yes.
Legitimately have done that in my life.
Understandable.
Just driving along. And you can only do it with someone else in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? Oh, random brake check,
random
eh?
Random brake check. It's great. So we have two breaks before they're out, but Bob and Doug, they divert to feed the dog. They do the break check, then they go home to feed the dog, where mom and dad are no longer in front of the TV. They have they've gotten into the mind control beer, the free beer that they took home, and they're getting it on. And this is one that made me laugh because it's Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas just in wigs.
Uh-huh.
And it was really funny. Just Rick Moranis turning to the camera as the mom was really funny to me.
That was super. And it's like they're just like so they're good. Going at it missionary style.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the dad is on top. And then, yeah, just.
I think their clothes were like her nightgown is still on. Like you can see from like. Literally the waist up.
And
they're fully clothed.
What are you doing, hosers? And then, and then they both turn to the camera and Rick Moranis just has that old gray curly haired wig on with the big bottle glasses and lipstick.
Yep. And curlers, I think. Yeah.
Funny.
That made me laugh. So that was laugh number one.
All right. Okay. I think I might know where laugh number two is in.
Do you?
We'll find out.
Okay. So they feed the, where do they go? They feed the dog, right? And then our boys finally go and deliver the beer and the brakes are out. And then they end up ramping off into the water and the van sinks. Right before that, though, one of the kegs gets loose, and it's Pam. She was in the keg.
Son of a bitch.
They stuffed people in the kegs.
You were right.
Oh, my goodness. Now, it looks like Bob and Doug are dead. They've been in the water for 10 minutes. No man would survive such a thing. Right? Then we get a very quick intermission. And then...
Like a 10-second intermission.
I literally saw intermission going. I was like, oh, bathroom break. And then I went, nope, not bathroom break. I'm going to have to hit the old pause. So the scuba divers, they go in. And they go down to investigate the van and pull out the dead bodies. But there are no dead bodies because the boys are inhaling air, I guess, from the so many empty beer bottles that were in the van.
They're completely submerged.
Yes.
And the beer bottles are upside down on the roof of the van.
Yeah.
And they're just pulling them down and taking hits of
air. Instead of trying to get out of the van, they've sat in the van, in their seats, just inhaling the air out of the beer bottles. And I love, and this was the second time I laughed.
Oh, okay.
Because when their scuba dive down to the, and they knock on the window, and Doug looks at the window, and they're like, oh, shit, you can tell. They're like, oh, they've gotten caught by the cops.
He gives them the roll-it-down motion.
And then he rolls down the window, and he pulls out his license and hands it to the cop, who shows the badge while he's diving, which was great.
That was a great sequence. Also, my thought was, how fucking tough was it to film that?
I know. I want to know the physics of how they filmed it. That would be really funny.
I don't know. That would have just been tough because homie was holding his breath for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was really good. So, yes, that was probably the most I laughed, I think, unless I discover a scene later. I might have laughed later.
There's a scene coming up that always kills me. Uh-huh. And we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay. So we get them. We get them and they get framed for kidnapping Pam, and she ends up picking them out of a lineup because she's still kind of drugged over this beer, and they're sent to jail, and poor Pam is now like in a catatonic state. Oh, here in my notes, excuse me, quote. And then I check out for a second, not going to lie. Something happens in the weird control room. And they realize that the disc of the murder is gone. And they believe that Doug are true masterminds. So I checked out somewhere and then I came back. So the boys go to trial with a lawyer who really takes care of the press. I did like that.
Fucking just karate chops them.
Takes care of them. And I love that one straggler that comes out of nowhere and he just takes care of that bitch. He's like, that's how you take care of the press. So I really like that. And so we go to trial. And because of their antics in the courtroom, like one Doug gets a nosebleed, they can't get it to stop, and they just keep adding fucking tissues until somebody gets the bright idea to just shove two bullets up his nostrils to hold in the blood.
Stop the nosebleed.
So they get in there to like state their case to be witnesses and get questioned. And then he just shoots out the bullets out of his nostrils. They just go everywhere in the courtroom. So because of that, they get put into the loony bin.
I also, there's a scene right before the court one where they're in a holding cell. And they're basically telling the story to all the fellow inmates how badass they are.
Yes.
Trying to save their skins. And like they offer them a cigarette. And Doug goes, oh, no way. We want our lungs pink when they fry us. That fucking line kills me every fucking time. No, we want our lungs pink when they fry us.
I think I checked out on that scene. I remember them sitting around, but I don't remember that phrase.
Oh, that one's so good.
My B. That was during my checkout phrase.
Your B.
My B, eh? So they get sent into the loony bin, and they're in the padded room with straight jackets, and it's where the brewmeister is actually the head physician. Oh, shit. Mm. That might not bode well for our boys. Mm. And our boys are questioned. They don't know where the disc is. And then they get shoved into a room, the electroshock therapy room, and they keep trying to shock each other, which was pretty good. So then we also have to mention There's a hockey player that works for the brewery, Jean LaRose.
Yeah.
Was that what his name was? And he's actually a hockey player that saved Pam out of the water because he's like infatuated with Pam and he saw the van and he goes and saves her out of the water.
He just ends up having like a meltdown his rookie year and he's kind of working at the brewery.
Right.
Ends up in possible some mental experiments with the mind control beer.
Absolutely. So after he saves Pam, he winds up in the hospital. And so he ends up, once he comes to, he breaks out of the hospital. He saves the boys and Pam from the mental institution. And then there's this alarm that goes off and he's like, oh, we can follow the rest of the patients through the tunnel, which is going to take us underground to the brewery. That's how we get back to the brewery, correct?
Yep.
Because they're being mind controlled through a tunnel to the brewery. And this was kind of comical. So we have four people now. We have Pam, the hockey player, and Doug and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we need to split and we need to go our separate ways to conduct our plan, right? So this is the first time that the brothers are ever split up with one another. Now, Doug handles it, but that whole scene of them like walking away from each other, that was pretty cute. And then Doug does fine, but Bob is not doing well.
Bob's a little more of the codependent of the two.
He's a little bit more emotional than the other one. So Pam and Bob get put into a vat, and it starts filling with beer. Oh, shit.
Brewmeister going to drown him.
He's going to drown him in this vat of beer. They're going to be like the mouse.
Yep.
And then we know that this big Oktoberfest shipment of beer is the mind-controlled beer that he's going to set out among the masses, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, we got to remember, keep tabs. We have a hockey team on the loose. Two hockey teams on the loose. God, that's so dumb. So, we have these mental patients that are dressed up in their hockey team gear, and now that hockey team is being diverted by LaRose and Doug to attack the brewmeister and the uncle. You see, the uncle always wears white, and the brewmaster, Breitmeister, always wears black, and they are trained, controlled to attack colors. That's why their uniforms are in white and black. So he has the teams respectfully go after the uncle and the brewmeister. Right? Are we following this game of hockey chess?
Are we connecting the dots here?
Are we understanding here? Then Bob and Pam are then saved from the vat. We find them because we need to mention this. This is going on in the movie. Somehow we're seeing Pam's dad, the creator of this beer. He's somehow projected onto the screens.
It's
his digital spirit that's finding his way through. And he kind of helps guide LaRose to figure out where Bob and Pam are, which is in the vat, right? So they go, and luckily they open the door and no beer comes out because Bob has drank it all. And he is literally the size of the vat. And it's just his little normal head that's poking out of this big, huge body that's filling up the vat. And he has got to go.
He's
got
to piss.
He has got to go. Luckily, there comes a fire at the Institute, I think. And they have an idea to take Bob and let him whiz out the fire.
And it worked.
In 2 minutes. He did more in 2 minutes than the fire department could do in 2 hours.
That's a hell of a piss.
If he ever wants a job. Yeah. Somehow, his pajamas never tore. Hulk pants all over again.
It's some very stretchy Canadian fabric.
Sure.
They
got different cotton up there.
They do.
They grow different kind of cotton up here in the South.
Yeah.
So we get that done with. We're all good. We're all back to normal size. Now we have to stop the Oktoberfest brew from getting to the people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't want a bunch of mind controlled drunks.
We don't.
At Oktoberfest.
We don't. Even though we know now that the stuff will wear off after a certain amount of time since we don't have the people up top pulling the strings anymore. But that's okay. We got it. We just got to get the beer away from them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're working with the cops now. So So here's the idea of how we do that. Instead of just going into Oktoberfest and saying, no, this is tainted beer, you can't have it, we decide to paint the dog to look like a skunk. So dumb, it's comical.
And then they...
This one hits me.
This one is where I thought you would have lost it, where he comes out. He's like, okay, Jose, go take care of the beer, right? And the dog just starts running down the street, and then the Superman theme plays, and then the dog just starts to fucking fly.
And then it's funnier now thinking back about it.
And then they cut to the... I was losing my shit when, like, they cut to, you know, like, stock footage of, like, the city and then just, like, the superimposed dog.
It just goes in front of it.
Oh, fuck, that murders me every time. Fuck.
I think I yelled out, like, what the fuck? But it's really funny now thinking back upon it. And also, I loved the comedy of them holding the map up to the dog and trying to, like, no, look, pay attention, watch the map. And they're trying to show the dog the map.
If you went through this intersection, you went too far, eh?
Yes. That was also very, very comedic gold, in my opinion. But yes, he does. He just starts flying through the fucking city to save the day.
He just lands, touches down in the Oktoberfest tent, walks in, and everyone just loses their shit, it's a giant skunk, and they fucking run out.
The biggest fucking skunk they have ever seen in their lives. Oh, so he scares everyone off, and the cops get there, and then we save the day, and we are going to drop the charges against Bob and Doug McKenzie, and guess what? They're going to get a full-time job at the brewery. They're outstanding citizens, and their first deal is to dispose of all the contaminated beer. So they get in the semi, and it's like, well, it's a 10-speed. That's just double what a 5-speed is. Got it.
He's like, I'm not going to crash it. It's a beer truck, eh?
Yeah, exactly. That was the logic that got them in the truck, and so they take the truck out. So that is the end of that movie. And then we come back for a movie review on the TV set, right? Yep. And they're talking about the movie, and I think one of them says, story's got a few flaws, but it's overall, it's a good it's a good value for your money, for your $5 ticket or whatever it was.
All right. Now we have to look and take a look at all the credits here. Like, oh, look at this guy here. Hey, he did the music.
And they're following him up.
That's pretty good music. Because of the movie, I know what a grip is, eh? I never knew what a grip was before.
So we go through that for about 2 minutes. And then I think that's the end of the movie. I didn't stay to see if there was a post-credit scene.
That is the end. Strange Brew.
Yes. It's good. It's just not overall my specific brand of humor.
Would you like to know how this movie got me into a fight with my English teacher in high school?
Oh, my God. Fucking yes. Strange Brew got you in a fight with your English teacher.
So
how old were you?
I was a senior in high school.
Oh God.
So yes. I would have been 17 when I graduated.
Oh shit. You were just an angry motherfucker, weren't you?
Angry, fucking snarky, sarcastic.
Tall, lanky son of a bitch.
Yup, just a tall, lanky fuck.
Yeah.
And I hated my English teacher, who was like a real hippy dippy fucker.
Ugh, the worst.
Imagine the worst kind of English teacher in your head. That's the one.
I had one who wore the same tweed jacket every day, and every day he came in, he did Shakespeare.
Funny you say that. This is where this is going.
Oh, yes!
So, couldn't give a fuck about Shakespeare. Don't know, like, one poem, one tale from the other. Don't know fucking fuck all about fuck all.
To be or not to be, that's the question that I don't care what the answer is to.
Literally, the fuck best em. Version of Shakespeare was in Last Action Hero.
Sure.
To be or not to be. Not to be. So here's how it got me in trouble. So we were reading Hamlet. And as we were reading Hamlet, the castle in Hamlet, Elsinore, Hamlet about a uncle named Claudius. Uncle in this movie is named Claude.
Oh.
The father is murdered by the uncle, marries the wife. Strange Brew is basically Hamlet.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up. this is strange brew. And she's like, excuse me? Like, offended, like, shocked that I would dare compare the divine art of Shakespeare to strange brew. And I'm like, have you ever seen it?
I can imagine how condescending that was when you said it.
Oh, because she was so fucking condescending. I'm like, it's the same shit.
Right.
It is the story. I'm like, yo, when in this story is fucking someone gonna piss to put out a castle on fire? Oh, man, her chemicals fucking got up hot on that one. But, like, I decided this day was the, like, this was the hill I was going to die on. Hamlet was strange brew.
Okay, well, technically strange brew was Hamlet, but that's fine.
Whatever.
That was I think, where you went wrong.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, flip the script, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I was like, I'm like, this is like the beer version of Hamlet.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not ever go for it.
No.
Why wouldn't she, as an English teacher, use that as a wonderful teaching moment to say, see how this can inspire stupid shit? Mm-hmm. See how this inspired this throughout the history of time?
Right. You would think.
If they were a good teacher.
But no, she was fucking garbage. This was also the same teacher that assigned everyone. It was extra credit, all right, for Valentine's Day. And I think I've told this one before. She just assigned extra credit. You would automatically get like 15 points if you just wrote an essay on what you think love is. I'm like, okay. And I just wrote a couple paragraphs how, you know, I'm like, ultimately, I don't know because I'm 17 and I don't know anything about anything. I love my dog. I love professional wrestling. These are the things that I love. I don't know about love on a grander scale, blah, 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 blah. And that was my opinion on it.
Uh-huh.
She gave me 10 points instead of 15.
Why?
And wrote some snarky fucking message on there. And she handed them all back, you know, told some of her favorites, oh, great job, love what you did, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, how come I only got 10 points? Because you didn't care about this assignment and blah, blah, blah. And like started fucking bitching at me because I didn't take it seriously. I was like, I'm fucking 17. I don't know shit about shit. How the fuck
can I tell you?
You told us, write what you think and you get 15 points. This is what I think. I'm like, was there anything that was grammatically incorrect? Did I put too many commas, as I've been known to do?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't like her.
So when did you punch her?
I never did.
Damn it.
I did legitimately go to the principal on that one. And I was like, here's the situation. Fuck this. I want my 5 points. Fuck her. She's a bitch teacher.
Yeah.
I got my 5 points back.
Good, as you should.
Yeah.
You were honest in your essay. You didn't just make up some fucking bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. Now, look, I know that teaching is like the toughest fucking profession. They're criminally underpaid. Got to deal with a lot of fucking shithead kids.
True.
I was one of those shithead kids, but I was right in this instance. I was also right that fucking strange brew was Hamlet.
I never put that together.
Fuck that bitch.
But remember, I didn't pay attention in school. I don't read.
And I only paid attention because, like, I watched that movie probably every fucking week. And I was like, wait a minute. This all seems familiar.
Hmm.
Where have I seen this Hamlet, this story? When did this come out? I think I've heard this tale before.
That's amazing. Since there was beer involved.
Yeah.
When do we piss out a castle? That's such a great question.
And so on a completely unrelated note, this was posted to my social media last week, and I shared it with a friend of ours, and that friend said, oh my God, do not show this to Leanne until you're on the podcast. I need a live reaction to this.
Okay.
So I am going to show you the kid who loved this movie so much.
Okay.
That we reviewed it here today. Are you ready to see him?
Yeah. No! What? That's amazing. What happened?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. That is, hold on, turn it back around. That is everything. Uh-huh. That is fucking everything.
I'm going to give some context
that
here for this.
Shirt combo is amazing.
Yeah.
The way you've got it unbuttoned is.
Hell yeah. I was a fucking pimp since birth. Let me give some context here.
Oh my God, please do.
So my birthday was last week. That's my brother.
Oh, okay.
Now you can clearly see that I'm I'm adopted. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't match.
No. So my brother found a picture of us when we were kids, and he put, "Is it even worth celebrating a birthday with clear photographic evidence that you've already peaked?" He's not wrong. He's not wrong. Give some context to this picture. In the foreground is a, I don't know how, he brought like 9, 10, just this fat blonde kid, school shooter glasses,
yeah.
9 years old, already has a receding hairline. Behind him, a probably 12, 13 year old Jack Spade, chubby cheeks.
Yeah.
Wild, loud as fuck Hawaiian t-shirt.
You picked that shirt, didn't you?
I loved that shirt. I saw this picture, I'm like, fuck, I wish I still had that shirt. Bright blue with like magenta and orange flower patterns. Like Leanne said, unbuttoned at the top.
He's showing off where chest hair would eventually form.
Right. And let's talk about that hair. Let's talk about that hockey mullet hair.
Was that your normal look, or was that like your dressed up look for this photo?
That was dressed up.
That was your dressed up look.
There is one person I idolized in this picture.
Click it again because it's dark now.
Oh, shit.
Click it.
Let me pull it back up here. There is one person who I clearly idolized in this picture. I'm going to give you a crack at it. Do you think you know who it was?
I don't know.
In this picture? Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah, that is the kid.
That is Weird Al.
That kid watched Strange Brew twice a week, knows the words to this day to Weird Al's Even Worse album, Inside and Out. That kid grew up to be a strip club DJ. Watched strippers snort cocaine off of his dresser.
Yeah.
Married way outside of his league.
As soon as you picked up that shirt, your fate was destined.
Uh-huh.
Your fate was destined for that.
If I did what I do now, when I find a shirt that I like, or shorts, or any piece of clothing that I like, because I don't feel comfortable in everything, right?
Right.
So when I find something that I like, I'm like, ooh, I like this shirt.
Let's buy 10 of them.
Yep, I buy 5, 6, 7 of them.
Right.
And so my closet is lined with, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 of the same shirt. If I did that back then, I would have had a closet of that blue Hawaiian t-shirt. I'm going to put that picture on Huntsville Home Video social media pages.
It's so good.
So, my God, if you're not following now, you should be.
God, that's great.
Uh-huh.
God, I love that you loved that shirt much.
Did
you wear Hawaiian shirts a lot like that, or just was that your only one?
All the fucking time.
All the time?
All the time.
God, that's great.
I fucking lived in Hawaiian shirts.
Why don't you do that anymore?
I don't know.
You need to get back on it.
Okay.
I need you to get back on it. I feel like now you put in enough time, you need to be Hawaiian shirt guy again.
That's the vibe I need to put out there.
I think you should.
All right.
And you can wear them open with like a wife beater underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel, okay. You can't say that anymore. Sorry. A tank underneath. Yeah.
All right. I'll bring that style back. Also, all I wanted at this time was to be able to have long hair like I have now, but my hair was so thick and naturally curly,
right. Mm-hmm.
That this is literally as long as it would go, and then it just started growing out and up.
Tell me your process for styling your hair. Like, was that full of gel?
No.
No?
No, there was nothing in that.
Okay.
It just grew like that. I would wash it, I would let it dry, and then I would just, like, wet my hands a little bit and slick it back.
And it mulleted itself?
The back just naturally, like it still does that now where if I have my hair down, it just naturally curls at the bottom.
Right, yes.
And it did that, except it was just real thick and poofy.
Yeah, yeah, because now you have part of it shaved.
Yeah, I have the sides of my head shaved, but yeah. that was like a helmet of hair.
God almighty, damn it.
When my brother sent me that picture, I sent it to I was like right next to my wife and I was like, "Hey, look at this kid. You think this kid would grow up to be someone that you wanted to fuck?" And she goes, Anyway, do you want to go get some lunch? And I'm like, no, answer my fucking question.
You don't want her to answer.
Yeah, I do.
You know what the answer is.
I want the truth.
God, not only do you look amazing, but it just shows how much you stand out from your. you are like that literal black, red, like dark headed stepchild.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's great.
Uh-huh.
That's so. Yeah, y'all don't match at all.
Nope.
Also, it seems like he should be the one wearing the Hawaiian shirt, but then you flipped it.
He got weird.
He's got like a wholesome sweater on.
Yeah.
He
was super like clean cut and wholesome up until about high school, and then he got weird.
Okay.
That was his weird time. He started wearing like his hair spiked up. Because literally the dude went bald by high school. Like he was already, that receding hairline he had at 9. And he's, you know, pretty much like bald now, but he had it like spiked up, had, you know, just like the stereotypical like pop punk look.
Yeah.
Wore those, those striped stockings.
Oh.
Like both on his feet and on his arms.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
One of those. I don't consider that kid that in that photo of you weird. I feel like that's a kid who's ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he seems like to me.
I was so far ahead of my time.
He's ahead of his time.
Yep. I was 40 at 12. Yeah.
You do look like a 40-year-old man.
I guarantee you what you probably don't see in that photo is some board shorts and sandals with socks.
No.
I don't think I wore sandals or socks. Holy shit, did my styles clash when I was that age. Like, fucking stripes with patterns? I don't give a fuck.
Nah.
I'll wear that shit.
Wear what you like.
Yep.
You know, you're just not giving a fuck since day one.
In fact, like, some days, I would show up with that Hawaiian shirt and sweatpants. Yeah, bitch.
You are a 45-year-old divorcee. Trying to figure out how to make it with joint custody in a new apartment. That's what you're...
Just got home from a brutal day of school, put on that new weird album, and just relaxed. Just tried to get my mind right.
God, that's so good.
Watch Strange Brew again.
I'm glad you hid that from me, because that reveal was great. Damn it.
I've literally been sitting on that since my birthday.
That's amazing.
A week ago.
God.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm glad you enjoyed. I'm glad you enjoyed. Again, I'm putting that picture up later this week on HuntsvilleHomeVideo.com and our social media pages. So make sure you're checking that out. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at
HSV Home Video.
And before we go any further, let's give Strange Brew some stars, shall we?
Okay. I didn't hate it. It's not fully my jam.
Yep.
But it did have some good points, and I can very much respect it as being something of like, you're good. You're just not for me.
Sure.
So, I'll give it a 3.
Okay.
Yeah. 2.75, 3, somewhere in
that's
there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I'll get like a 3.75 hose heads out of 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. 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 Now, still like it. Still find the characters of Bob and Doug super endearing.
Right.
Like I said,
They're great characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen to their album after I watched the movie. That album still kind of cracks me up. It doesn't. I don't gut laugh when I listen to that or watch this, but I chuckle. I find like constant chuckles.
Okay.
All the way through. That's right. The kind of comedy that this hits for me,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoy it. Still holds up after all these years. Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas, they have appeared sporadically for different things as Bob and Doug. Most recently, I think probably, God, I want to say within like the last 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they showed up for like a Rush event.
Okay.
You know, like Rush is like the Mount Rushmore of Canada.
Ha.
See what I did there.
Ah.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. But yeah, like whenever they show up, I'm just like, oh, fuck yeah, Bob and Doug. Like them. There's Bob and Doug statues in Canada. You can.
Of course there are.
Of course there are.
Yeah, I'm never going
Don't
to
get too judgy. This country has a, in Philadelphia, there's a statue of Rocky.
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that we still have Robert E. Lee around.
Oh, yeah, I mean that too. But at least Robert E. Lee was a real dude.
At least he did work. I mean.
At least he did work.
I mean, you can't argue with me on that one.
Historically accurate.
Historically is accurate.
Well done, Foster. Well
Thank
done.
You. Thank you.
He did work. Well, I got to take down the Robert E. Lee statue. I mean, well, the dude did do work.
He did do work.
So. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Rocky beat the Russian. So, right. I mean, keep him up.
Right?
Keep him up. There it is.
History.
And
there it is. There it is.
History. God damn.
Anyway. Strange Brew.
Strange Brew. Great flick. Loved it. Still dig it.
I'm glad I really know who they are now. Like, I'm glad I know who those characters are.
Would you?
And
would
I would
you,
be able to.
Would you ever give their album a listen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be open to it. I might really like them more or watching their original skits or whatever before the movie. I might become a bigger fan.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is. All right. Well, the Great White North album. Check it out.
The Great White North?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty good, eh?
I'll see what it's about.
Okay. So next week, let's switch this shit up entirely.
That's good.
Let's go with heavy Oscar-winning drama.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I had an experience that made recently that made me think of this movie. Okay. And I really, really, really liked this movie when it came out. It's got a couple Avengers in it, so that...
I'm always down for that.
Yep.
Give me an Avenger any day.
There it is.
Which ones?
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah!
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I love both those dudes.
Yep.
Okay.
It is a movie called The Hurt Locker.
Heard of it, don't know what it's about.
Ooh, all right.
Is it about sports?
No.
Oh.
No.
I think I just went with locker. I just thought maybe it was a football movie.
Okay. We haven't done a football movie yet. Outside of like the beginning of The Last Boy Scout. I mean, yeah. That was about the most football movie we've done.
Mm.
We've never done a football movie. There's a couple good ones.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get to one of them after The Hurt Locker, which is not about sports.
Okay.
It is about a...
God, I'm so stupid. Hey, being so stupid.
You went from like nailing possibly the best Robert E. Lee joke I've heard ever to going, oh, it's about sports.
Well, I hear something and my brain just assumes and I just roll with it.
Sure.
That's just how I've been my entire life.
I mean, if someone said, it's like, oh, put this in your locker, you just automatically assume sports, not school.
Not school. That's the part that I feel stupid about, because a locker can be used for many a different thing.
Yeah.
More specifically, a locker is probably mostly used for school books, but yet I went locker for sports. So
The Hurt Locker is about a
maybe I thought
student.
That was like a tackle.
It's about a student who gets he's bullied. He gets stuffed in his locker on the last day before spring break.
Uh-huh.
And everyone leaves and he's forced to survive in his locker. It's like 127 hours, except in a locker.
Oh, and that's where he starts to lose his mind.
Yeah.
And then when he finally gets let out, he buys a gun.
Yep.
And rat-a-tat-tats.
And shoots up that school. And that's where the hurt part comes in.
Oh shit, I shouldn't have put that guy in the locker.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have seen it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
I think whenever I say, from now on, whenever I say, hey, next week we're going to be watching this movie, you need to immediately tell me you need to tell me the plot premise and everything based on the title.
Okay. Yep. That'll be a new thing that we do.
That'll be
okay.
Fun.
I'll just immediately tell you where my mind goes.
The Hurt Locker is about it focuses on Jeremy Renner's character. He is a bomb disposal tech. Ooh. In like Afghanistan.
Oh.
And it's a character study on him, and it's fucking awesome.
Okay.
The movie's intense. It's one of those movies, because I know how you get into movies and how you watch movies, and you kind of know how I watch them now as well. The first time I saw this movie, literal edge of the seat. Like, you find yourself getting engrossed and just leaning forward and be like, oh, shit. oh, fuck, what's going to happen? Oh, shit. Just super intense.
Yeah, we need one of those.
Well acted. Catherine Bigelow is the director of this movie. I'm pretty sure she won the Academy Award for this one.
Okay.
James Cameron's ex-wife.
Yeah.
And I want, if I may be misremembering this, it might not have even happened.
Because we're not going to fact check.
No, fuck no. I think this was up for the Academy Award the same year that Avatar was.
Mm.
And she beat her ex-husband and won. Yep.
Good for her.
And if not, that's what happened. Fuck it. Revisionist history. We do it all the time in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag America.
Not Canada.
No. That's the second hashtag.
Right.
Hashtag Canada. Hashtag be better. But yeah, we'll watch The Hurt Locker next week.
I'm ready.
And you know what? We're going to give a second plug to our social media accounts.
Yeah.
Follow us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at
HSV Home Video.
Also, give a follow to our absolute delight of a show sponsor, Michael at Underboss Photography, Underboss_Photography. He dropped off a birthday present for me this week.
I didn't get you one.
You didn't.
No.
You didn't even wish me a happy birthday.
I didn't. I was late
to
it.
That's okay.
So
we're podcast friends. We're not real friends.
Oh.
It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts.
I bet it hurts you more than it hurt me.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
It hurt when I was just wanting three people to wish me a happy birthday on my birthday. You were one of them. The other two delivered the goods. But then there was Leanne Foster, who did not.
Oh.
That's all right, though. There's always next year. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, shit. I'm the worst. Well, you know, I don't have a calendar. I don't write stuff down.
That's fair.
But I'm obviously a big fan, bro. Like,
Clearly.
I had nothing left in the tank.
That's fair. That's fair. No, I got when Michael went to Vegas not too long ago, he took a couple shots of the Vegas skyline,
mm-hmm.
one of which he shared on his Facebook and Instagram, _Underboss_Photography. A great shot of the Vegas Strip. He printed that out on a metallic fucking piece, framed it up. Looks fucking dope. And you could order one of those for yourself,
mm-hmm.
for a loved one, perhaps one who has a birthday coming up who you are aware of. Maybe it is on your calendar. Maybe you'd like to do something nice for them. And get,
I think I'm next. Yeah.
I've already got your birthday present.
Why don't give me a birthday present? Because I'm not good
at buying
presents.
Like I already did because I thought we were better friends than this.
Son of a bitch, man. Oh, God, I really dropped the ball on this one. I feel like such a dickhole.
I don't care.
I know you don't.
I legitimately
but you do.
Don't give a fuck about my birthday.
I know, but.
And I wanted no one to comment on my birthday.
I did text you a happy belated, didn't I? No, I
no,
told
you
it
told
to your
me
face.
In person, yeah.
I told it to your face.
That's right.
I said, hey, bro.
Like 5 days after
that's
the
right.
Fact.
And then I said, don't expect anything better from me.
Yeah. And I don't.
I'm the worst.
No, you're good. Seriously, like legitimately, you're all good.
I don't believe it.
No, I legitimately stopped giving a fuck out of my birthday after 31 because I wanted to live to my golden birthday and it was the last day of the fucking month.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Because I learned about golden birthdays in school. That's you turn the age you are on the day you're born. So 31 on the 31st.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mine passed on on my 14th birthday.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still stupid.
Way to squander that shit.
Yeah. Who knew?
But yeah, it was 25 for insurance dropping, 31 golden birthday. Have not given a shit since then. It's another fucking day.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So you're good.
Okay.
You're good, fam.
Yeah, but just because you don't give a shit about it, I should have given more of a shit about it.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
You're
that's
all good.
What's going to happen.
Be better than
I'm
going
to go home and cry now.
Oh.
Not really.
No, I didn't think so.
I'm going to forget this conversation as soon as I get in my car.
That's accurate.
That's on brand.
Yeah, that's on brand. Yep.
You shouldn't expect anything more.
And I don't. But nevertheless.
I love you, fam. Happy fucking birthday. A week later.
Thanks. But yes, again, Michael, thank you for that awesome gift. And again,
yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks for adding my name to that.
questions from us.
I didn't actually look at the card.
It was on the card.
Maybe, oh fuck. Now you just got to figure out how you're going to Ocean's 11 your way into my house to get that card. Put your name on it.
I'll do it. I'll figure it out.
You're going to text Rachel. Put this name on the card real quick. Like, why does Leanne's name look like my wife's handwriting?
Because all girls write the same. The same. Duh.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, join us next week, my friend. We're watching The Hurt Locker. It's going to be intense. It's going to be serious. It's going to be fucking... Mm-hmm. Good times.
We should be intense and serious while reviewing such a film.
Or we should do it in Canadian accents. Maybe yours will get better by next week.
I won't practice.
Until then, be kind and rewind.
Eh?
Okay, the podcast's done, eh? You take off, Ozer.